Neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland, New York, New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
DVC. Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 166. This is Peter. I am with our regular Sue. Hey, Sue.
Hey, Peter.
And also we have a special guest. Jen is with us. She is part of the team behind the scenes for DVC Newscast. She helps us publish every week and she's decided to join us. So hi, Jen. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. And we're going to throw you in the deep end
reading
the first story. But before we do that, let's thank our sponsor. And our sponsor from World of DVC this week is Monera Financial. Now, if you are looking to finance a resale contract, if you don't have the money to pay it all up front, Monera Financial finances any contract, basically. If you can afford to get a contract, they'll finance it for you. They have pretty good interest rates, and you can go there and let them know what you're buying, let them know how much you need, and they will get back to you as soon as possible. They really don't refuse anyone. And in fact, if you have purchased through DVC and financed through DVC, you can refinance through them. Their interest rates are better than what Disney will give you. So you might want to look at that even if you have a direct contract. So check them out, MoneraFinancial.com. And with that, we're going to dive into some stories. We got quite a few this week, and this one I'm really excited about, Jen. Why don't you tell us about the new animation experience coming to Hollywood Studios?
Oh, absolutely. So Disney announced that at Hollywood Studios, they're going to overhaul the Star Wars launch bay, and they're opening a new experience themed around the magic of Disney animation. So it will be inspired by the Emmy Award-winning short film Once Upon a Studio. And actually, the building is going to bring back the Sorcerer's Hat. I know that when the Sorcerer's Hat went away, a lot of people were really sad that they missed that icon for Hollywood Studios. But it will be back. It will be on the building. So that's exciting. Inside, you'll interact with and explore silly takes on the iconic Disney Animation headquarters and the many different studio departments. You'll see portraits come to life before your eyes, and you'll find inspiration with a short film. And you can even pencil in some time to learn how to draw your very own character. For the young kids, they'll have the Drawn to Wonderland playground filled with an oversized flower garden with musical instruments, a Mad Tea Party playset, and a Tolkienwood exploration area, all inspired by Alice in Wonderland art from Disney legend Mary Blair. This will open in 2026. Now, with all this new stuff, Star Wars Launch Bay will be closing permanently on September 25th. Disney Junior Play and Dance will also close on that date, but it is expected to reopen with some refreshed entertainment. One of the things that I'm really excited about is the opportunity to learn how to draw a character. I really love that at Disney's California Adventure. Mm-hmm. And I know that at Rafiki's Planet Watch, there's a drawing academy, but that's kind of out of the way. And I don't think a lot of people take the time to go experience that.
I know. And they give you a little like lap desks because they used to have the drawing academy in Launch Bay, right? Did you ever go when it was still there?
I didn't. I never even knew about that.
So originally that building was part of the animation tour back in the 90s and early 2000s when they actually had an animation studio at Hollywood Studios. Sue, I'm sure, remembers that, right?
Yeah, I remember it was an active one. And actually, you could watch them do the animation and do the colorization of it, which was really wonderful to see.
Yeah, so my guess is like, the rooms are kind of still there, and especially there is a room very much like the one in California Adventure where there were seats and desks and the desks had the lamps on them and everything. I assume they're just going to open that back up, but yeah, I don't know where they're going to put the play area. There wasn't that much room back there, but maybe they're going to expand it a little bit. But as I said, it used to be like you did that first and then you went to like the backlot tour from that in like the early days of Hollywood Studios. They're like going back in time here, which is pretty cool. Are you excited about this, Jen? Does this sound like something you and your kids are going to look forward to?
Oh, absolutely. I'm kind of wondering about the playground. Like, I know they're redoing that whole courtyard. Maybe right. that'll be out. Some of that will be outside.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, though, a playground indoors in Florida in the summer would be a miracle.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping it's indoors, because Dumbo has a little bit of that, right? There's a little bit of a play area in there, and it's indoors, so you can kind of sit in the air conditioning and let your kids run around. So yeah, I was thinking that that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. The only problem is they're going to have to like kind of stage people through there, because I don't know how they'll control the populace if it's just kind of an open play area. So what about you, Sue? Are you looking forward to this? I was like so excited when I saw this.
I am too. It just brings back what the old Hollywood studios was all about. And animation is kind of one of the keys of Disney himself. So to be able to see that, that's kind of a piece of heritage coming back for us to take a look at and observe. And I still have my Mickey sketch that I drew in one of those classes there.
So I think we still have some of them too. Yeah.
Yep. I'm very excited about it. I think it's a great thing. And I think it's bringing the studios back to what its original intent was.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's great. Once they opened Star Wars Land, it never made sense to me to keep the Star Wars launch bay there. I don't really understand why there aren't meet and greets in Star Wars Land.
Right.
Or at least not many, right? That usually you can meet a couple of characters. But hopefully this means they move some more Star Wars meet and greets back to the land. But this one's exciting. I know it's not like, it's not an e-ticket, but more little fun stuff like this. I really wish that, you know, Disney's so big on going spectacular lately that it's nice that they're doing something that's maybe not a top level thing, but just expands the selection of what there is to do in the park. Right. So very cool.
I'm kind of curious, because the animation that we saw way back when it was Hollywood Studios, that was all hand done ink.
Right.
When they did the inking, it was all hand done. And most of that now is done computerized. So I'm curious to see how the technology has changed and how it's enhanced the animation. To me, that's what I'm excited about.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know, they mentioned Once Upon a Studio. I don't know if you've both seen that short that came out with the 100th, but that short was hand-drawn as well. As far as anything's hand-drawn, my daughter just graduated with her animation degree. Anybody out there have any jobs for animators? Let me know. And everything, the 2D animation, it's done by hand, but it's done on a computer and then manipulated from there. They don't draw on paper. Nobody draws on paper anymore, right? the closest you come to that, if somebody is doing stop motion,
right,
that's still mostly a physical medium, though they use a lot of computer generation for the backgrounds and things like that, even in stop motion now. It's really cool if they incorporate some hand-drawn with that. Have any of you thought about, like they mentioned, you know, the characters coming to life? Are we going to see something like on the cruise lines with the animator's palette, where the characters or like Crush or, you know, Turtle Crush or something like that, where the characters like are in the paintings or something and come to life and talk to the guests? I wonder. There's not a lot of detail there exactly what's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, me too.
Yeah. All right. And then our next story, not as exciting, but if you are looking to get an annual pass coming up soon, and I'm doing that, for a limited time, we get up to $100 Disney gift card e-gift when you purchase a new Walt Disney World annual pass. So for the different pass levels, the highest level is, of course, the Disney IncrediPass. If you purchase one of those, you get a $100 Disney gift card. The Sorcerer's Pass, which is eligible DVC members are able to purchase that, and that's only blocked out usually like the weekend of Thanksgiving, and then also between Christmas and New Year's you get a period of block out there, but otherwise it's all the rest of the year. For me personally, one of the top perks of owning DVC, because we do buy this, and you're gonna get a $75 gift card for that. For Florida residents, if you pick up a Pirate Pass, which is the higher level, which has some blockouts on weekends and other times of year, that one you get $50 gift card. And then the lowest one, which is the Pixie Pass, and I think the Pixie Pass blocks out like all weekends and holiday weeks, right, Sue? Something like that?
It does.
There's quite a few blockout dates. Does it block out the whole summer or just part of the summer?
just part of the summer. But it is, it's one of those that's very, very limited.
Yeah, it's very limited, but that one, I think it's like $450 or something like that. So you get a $25 gift card for that. This ticket offer just went up. It went up on July 22nd, so 2 days ago as we recorded this. But all Disney is saying is a limited time offer, so they don't list an end date. So if you're looking to purchase an annual pass, probably in the next 12 months, this may be a good opportunity to get a little something back. Also, based on past years, annual pass prices are probably going to go up no later than October. I was actually planning to buy a pass like in August. And when I saw this, I was like, oh, I guess I'm buying a pass now. The one thing to know, though, this does not apply for renewals. If your timing is such that you're getting ready to renew your pass, you can't get the gift card. But the good thing is for renewals, you get, a 15% discount on the renewal price, right, Sue?
Right.
You must do that every year.
I don't. Sure.
Oh, you don't because you're an ex-cast member.
Right. I'm a retired cast member, so I have my silver pass for life.
Nice. Right.
Do they do that for all retired cast members, or do you got to have a certain number of years?
Certain number of years, and then you get your pass for life, and I can get three people in every single day.
That is magical.
Yes,
it is. We need to be better friends.
I know.
Anytime.
I didn't realize every day for life, Sue. Yeah. I'm going to come down and hang out with you.
Not a problem. Some of my clients do. I enjoy going to the park with people.
So, this is, again, good news. If you're a direct owner, you can get this pass, the Sorcerer's Pass. But even if you're not a direct owner, if you're a resale owner and you have to buy the IncrediPass, you're still getting $100 back. So if you were thinking to get one anyways, if you're going to go two or three times in a year, it's worth it.
They don't lower prices very often. So this is one way that they can get away without lowering it, but giving you an incentive to buy it.
Yeah.
Right.
I was a little surprised because it wasn't that long ago that they were actually restricting sales of annual passes, right? So apparently they've moved the other way with that.
And on top of that, Peter and Jen, there's a new member discount for DVC members that's added at the Waialulu Bar and Grill. So the new restaurants generally, they don't offer any type of discounts to the DVC members or annual pass holders. This one is, Disney has announced that the new Waialulu Bar and Grill has now been included in the list of restaurants that will provide 10% discount to members. And the discount is available for both lunch and dinner. Keep in mind that there are no reservations at the Waialulu, but it's nice to see that a brand new restaurant and with people staying there, especially members staying there, they'll be able to get a discount on their meals. Did you take advantage of trying that restaurant out, Pete?
I did. We ate there in April and it was very good. They have a somewhat limited menu, but it's not just appetizers or anything like that. They had full entrees, sandwiches, that type of thing. It was enough of a variety that we were able to enjoy it. And at the time, we went for lunch, and we probably waited like 10, 15 minutes. It wasn't too bad, but there was, the whole time we were there, there was a bit of a wait. But you just go up to the entrance, you give them your phone number, and they'll just page you so you can walk around the poly, check out the new tower, everything like that, the lobby. Food's really good there. It's a beautiful location. You can eat inside or outside, depending on the time of year. I'm not sure this time of year I'd want to eat outside, but...
Yeah, it's a little hot and humid right now. So
yeah, for sure. Jen, did you get over there on your recent trip?
No, I did not. We even stayed at the Poly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We did a split stay. But yeah, I did not even think about that. That's really exciting.
Did you get a chance to walk over to the tower?
No, we didn't. I meant to, but we were just going running the whole time.
Yeah,
kids hadn't been back to Disney World in like 5 years since pre-COVID.
Wow.
They wanted to be in the parks.
They wanted to be in the parks. Yeah, for sure.
I can't blame them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful tower. I loved it. And the food there at the Waialulu was very good, but they did not have the discount when we were there. So this is good to see. I'll take 10% off of nothing.
That's or right.
Versus nothing. Yeah.
Well, with my annual pass, I have an excuse to go back and visit it.
You do. That's right.
Yeah, I get a discount and I can go check out the tower and enjoy some food at a new restaurant. Sounds great.
Yeah, it is. It was really good. And then we got some special dining events out in California at the Grand Californian.
Yeah, so now we have some Disney World news. Now let's talk about Disneyland. So the Disney Parks blog has two new holiday-themed dining experiences at Storyteller's Cafe. During the holidays, for breakfast and brunch, guests can enjoy Daisy's Holiday Pajama Party. The character lineup will be Donald and Daisy Duck, Chip and Dale, and Pluto. That sounds so adorable. Yeah. I really want to see them in their jammies.
Like, yeah.
That's really cute.
I want to go in my jammies.
Right?
Right.
I guess you could if you're staying there.
Right. Why not?
Yeah. That would make for
some really
cute pictures.
It's a pajama party, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great idea. And then also for dinner, we'll bring the all-new Mickey's Christmas Carol Holiday Feast. The characters will be Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Scrooge McDuck, and others, all wearing outfits resembling those from Mickey's Christmas Carol. That one sounds pretty fun, too.
Yeah, did you see the concept art? It had, like, Goofy as Marley, I guess it is, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I think Clarabelle was the other character. I didn't remember her in the short, but is it a short? Is that one a short? It's more of a, like...
I think it's a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more of a... But it's not, like, a full, like, hour plus, though. It's like 45 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
Made for TV.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. So it was probably like 40 minutes or something like that for sure. Yeah.
That would be another one that would be fun to kind of dress in theme to. Mm-hmm. But start dates, reservation availability, and pricing hasn't been announced yet. But we wanted to share the fun events coming up at the Storyteller's Cafe at the Grand Californian.
I would want to go as Gonzo or Rizzo. I know that's a different Christmas Carol version, but I think that would be funnier.
I like it.
Yep.
It still fits.
Definitely. I could see you doing that too, Peter.
Get the big nose, the beak.
Better Gonzo than Rizzo.
Yeah. It was bad enough we had a rat restaurant in Florida, right? We didn't want a rat restaurant in California. And then because I always get the dry stories, I'm going to talk about some DVC discounts that have been announced. You know, our direct pricing, there's always discounts for both members and new customers, depending on how many points you get. And it's a sliding scale. The more points you get, the more of a discount you get. But after several months of unspectacular direct discounts, it looks like Disney is looking to boost sales with improved discounts. All five currently selling resorts have some level of discount for members with a full range of pricing available in our show notes. But there's a few details we want to share. And as a reminder, right now, direct pricing is $235 for most of the resorts and $245 a point for the Disneyland resort. So I'm going to come out and say you're still better off with resale. But if you want those direct points so that you can go buy those annual passes, most resorts are kicking off the discount at about 150 points for new members and 100 points for current members. But the best discounts usually kick in at 200 points for new members and 150 points respectively for current members. So again, if you bought a resale contract, you wanted to get some more points, you could pick up 150 points this way, get your direct discount, and then go back to buying resale after that. For example, at Riviera, current members see a $24 discount at 150 points, while new members only see $11 at that price point. Though when you get to 200 points, theirs jumps up to $24. So it's, again, a sliding scale. Cabins at Fort Wilderness have an even deeper discount. You get $28 for new members and $30 for only 150 points at the cabins at Fort Wilderness. So if you were thinking about buying there, now might be the time. Polynesian is the one that has the weakest discount because that's where the sales are strongest right now. But 200 points, you're only getting $10 or $11 off per point. You know, usually you get higher, 300, 400, it steps up pretty good. Here it barely goes up. Alani still has incentives. New buyers can save $26 on a 200-point contract, and existing members will do the same at 150 points. The villas at the Disneyland Hotel are also jumping on this bandwagon, so existing members can save $30 a point for a 150-point contract. And I have to say, I bought there. This is about the best discount I've seen for a 150-point contract, $30 a point, so it's pretty good. These offers are all valid through September 29th, so basically through the end of the fiscal year. trying to drive sales here towards the end of the fiscal year, it sounds like. As far as the sold-out resorts go, a lot of times they'll have incentives for some of the sold-out resort. Animal Kingdom Lodge is the only one with current incentives. Discount is $10, and it's only for current members. Discount is $10 per point at 100 points, $15 per point at 150 points, and $20 per point on contracts of 200 points or more. And that's only good through, I don't have the date down here, but it's like mid-August or something like that. These are pretty deep discounts, probably about as big as you're going to see. I mean, you know, Sue, you know more of a history of the direct sales prices. So those seem like pretty deep discounts. Again, you're still going to do better going to resale. Calling Sue up and saying, oh, I want a poly contract. She'll do better for you.
Yeah. The nice thing about these discounts, though, you have some people who still want to get the benefits of being a member. So 150 right. point contract is what they'd need to buy. And now they could take advantage of getting some of the discounts, especially if they're a resale member, they can get the member's discount, which would be nice. You know, it is something to look at. Resale prices still are up to 60% less than what you would pay direct. If you're going for a lot of points, or the discount doesn't matter to you, then really resale is the way to go. But for those who want the benefits, 150 points with these discounts is a nice way of doing it.
Yeah, because I own at Animal Kingdom Lodge, I'm always kind of looking at Animal Kingdom, what the prices, what it's running at for prices. And that's still $110, $115 for an Animal Kingdom contract. That's half the price of a direct contract. I guess you can't stay at Riviera, but you can stay at the Poly. You can stay at the Grand Floridian. You can stay at Beach Club and Boardwalk with those Animal Kingdom points. So, you know, it's not the worst thing to do is to save some money on a resale contract.
Definitely.
I don't know. What do you think, Jen?
Oh, I took advantage of a deal. Oh, goodness. Like maybe 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And just to be eligible for that Sorcerer's Pass.
Yeah.
And it's worth it. You know, the rest of my points are all resale.
Yeah. Did you get it before it went up to 150 points?
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. We got it when it was still 100.
Yeah. I think Shannon, our other host here, I think she did it at like 25 or 50. There was one point it was like really low.
Yeah. 50 points was what you needed. But the nice thing is when you call member services, they treat you all the same.
That's true.
They do. That's true. Never had anyone at member services say anything.
Nope.
So, all right. And then our last story, Sue?
Yes. The Disney collection. There's something new in the Disney collection for direct members. DVC has added a new option to the Disney collection option. While you could already participate in the National Geographic land expeditions by using your points are now eligible for the expedition cruises with National Geographic. And there's some really interesting cruises that you can take through the National Geographic expedition. But keep in mind, you're going to need a lot of points to be able to do that because most cruises are going for 800 to 1,000 point range per person. So it's a lot. But the cruises, if you look at the itinerary, if you look at the type of experience, immersive experiences you're going to get, it's, again, it's like an Adventures by Disney, but on a cruise.
Yeah.
I just don't have 800 to 1,000 direct points to do that.
Well, and they have, of course, these are like Galapagos Islands and things like that. And so they have a Antarctica one. And I went on and I looked, I was like, oh, how much is the Antarctica one? And it was like 1,900 points a person.
Right. That's what I was looking at. I thought, oh, yeah, Antarctica. Yeah. Not gonna
that sounds like fun. Oh, that's like 10 years worth of points. Yep. They probably won't let me bank and borrow that much.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So that's it for stories. We had quite a few bits of news there, but I did want to quiz Jen on the new Starlight Nighttime Parade because she was there before it even opened. You were there for one of the soft opening nights, right?
Yeah, I was there for the soft opening night on the 18th, Friday.
Nice. That was an awesome surprise, I bet.
Oh my goodness. We were on the monorail headed to Magic Kingdom and it was like 8:50 I saw the post that said it's going to be at 9 o'clock and I was like, okay, we're so close. But then we got held up at the Contemporary for traffic.
Oh no.
Yeah. but there was a weather delay. So we made it probably around 9:15. We walk under the train station, and that's when the music starts, because the parade starts in Town Square.
Right, yeah.
On Main Street, yeah. So that was a really magical moment for us. We were so worried we're going to miss it, and instead we just perfect time, and we just walked right in and had a great view. The parade is a lot of fun. It's good music, really a lot of characters, although I will say Ariel wasn't there. I thought that was a strange character to not have Ariel.
Oh yeah, Ariel's in everything. Isn't
yeah.
She? Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, my daughter was like, "Where's Ariel?" And surely she's going to come. And we saw almost all the other princesses and their princes as well.
Yeah.
They have a lot of princesses with their princes.
Yeah.
But not Ariel.
That's surprising.
That was the only comment. Yeah. But the floats are beautiful. The costumes were fun. You know, they all twinkled and shone, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I miss the nighttime parades so much. They're my favorite by far, by 500% my favorite parades.
Yeah. Mine too.
are the nighttime parade. We talked about it, Sue, in a previous episode, but you're very lucky you got to see it. Because, well, Sue can go anytime, but I got to wait till October, and I got to fight the Halloween parties.
Yeah.
I got to figure out, you know, we got 3 nights where there's no Halloween party, so I got to figure out which one we're going to go see that.
Well, right now they've kind of blocked the cast members and retirees out of the Magic Kingdom until, for the next, next month or so. So I'll wait until September to see it then. It'll hopefully be a little bit cooler.
Yeah, I
just am so excited, and I'm excited that you got a chance to see it. I've tried not to look at any videos out there because I want that full experience and seeing the lights with the castle in the background. I just can't wait.
I'm one of those people that I don't watch ride videos that I haven't been, I still have not seen anything about Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Other than, I mean, I've seen pictures, you know, but I've not seen any video of the ride, and that's been open for over a year now. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much like, I want to experience it myself for the first time. I don't want to have it already memorized beforehand. So I haven't listened to the music yet. I did see that the music from it is going to be available on Apple Play and Spotify and all the different music services. If you want to listen to the music, it's going to be streaming pretty soon too. So that'll be cool. Very good. And you had a good trip? Anything else memorable or special?
My son, he's 7, and he finally decided he liked roller coasters. So that was huge.
Yeah. My daughter's 22 and she still doesn't like them. So
did he go on Guardians?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what turned it for him. That's what turned it around. And he said his favorite was Tron though, which was surprising. My girls definitely like Guardians more.
Yeah.
But after he started riding the roller coasters, he didn't want to go on anything that wasn't fast. He said it was boring.
Oh, no. gonna have to start taking him to Universal.
Yeah.
Though there's boring stuff there, too. Yep.
But I'll tell you, even SeaWorld has great roller coasters. And it's not that busy, but their coasters are really good.
Yeah, I forgot what the name of the stand. There's a stand-up one.
Mm-hmm.
The manta ray?
Manta ray, you're lying down.
Yeah, the manta ray, you're lying down. There's another one, assuming it's still there. You're not really standing, but you're in a standing position.
Yeah,
I forgot the name of that one, but that was pretty wild.
It is. So,
even the most thrilling Disney coaster is not up there with the Universal coasters. I guess Rock and Roller Coaster is probably the big one, right? The biggest thrill.
Yeah, but when you compare that to Velocicoaster, it's nothing.
Right. That's the thing is, Velocicoaster, the Hulk coaster is something else. Even the one they're ripping out there, Rip Ride Rocket. I don't get why they're taking that out. It doesn't make sense to me.
It was rough.
Yeah.
Towards the end, it was pretty rough. I love it. Don't get me wrong. But I went in 2021 and it was kind of painful.
Yeah. Honestly, I guess thinking about it, I went on it a couple times, and because I end up going on coasters by myself, because my wife and daughter both won't do most of the, they'll do Tron is kind of the high end level of what they'll do. Mm-hmm. They'll do Everest. middle level coasters, but something like, you know, Rip Ride Rocket, forget it. They'll barely look at it. So I haven't been on it in a few years because it wasn't my favorite. Yeah. Okay. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's just not in that great shape and they don't want to sink money into it.
It was a really cool idea. I loved that I could pick my own music, and I didn't think it'd be so scary, like lying on your back and going straight up, but that was intimidating.
It is. I do remember that. I wouldn't necessarily call it scary, but it's pretty intense. Like, but that's part of like roller coasters, is that drama of even like Rock and Roller Coaster, even though you're not going up a lift hill, that sitting there and I'm counting down and everything. I hope the Muppets keep that countdown.
Yeah. So that would be nice.
I expect to hear Dr. Teeth going 1, 2, 3. Let's go. All right. Well, that's all the news we got. Sue, anything you want to bring up about Orlando or Disney or anything?
I was just over at Saratoga Springs for a couple of nights last week and happened to take a look out. And when I was over taking the monorail around, and I was over at Contemporary and looked out the windows and saw the new lakeshore, the new DVC resort being built. Mm. And I sent you a picture. It's going to be mammoth.
It is huge.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, we took the boat over from Magic Kingdom to Fort Wilderness back in April to get some pictures of the cabins. It is not just massive. It's also like right on top of Pioneer Hall.
Yep.
Like it, I mean, it's probably further than it looks, but if I had to guess, it's like 50 yards from Pioneer Hall or something like that. I mean, it looks like it's right on top of it. You know, they haven't officially said if it's going to be part DVC, part cash, but I can't imagine that huge resort is going to be all DVC.
Yeah, I kind of have the same suspicions. And I think it's a beautiful place for it. Having another lakeside type of resort is going to be beautiful. But I was just taken aback by the size of it.
No, it's really huge. And they're definitely putting in cabins, too. You can tell that for sure already. Yeah. We got probably get another, I don't know, it's going up fast. So, you know, I was going to say we got another 2 years, but I'm not sure it's going to be 2 more years.
Yep, so I think it's next year.
We'll see. I think it could be open by next Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think more than 12 months, but yeah, it could be open sometime next. I'm sure we'll find out at the next D23 event when that's going to open, would be my guess, because it is pretty far along. So hopefully we'll keep hearing more, and anything that comes out, listen to our show, we'll tell you about it. So.
Sounds great.
And so with that, I want to thank our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial, for their continued support of the MyDVC platform. And thank you, Sue, and thank you, Jen, for joining us. I hope you're maybe going to join us a little more often in the future.
Yay, Jen.
Oh, absolutely. It was fun. Thank you.
Yeah. And with that, we're going to say see you real soon.
Bye.
Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.